Chiefs Kingdom, you have a brand new pass rusher. Carlos Dunlap has arrived in St. Joe, ready to roll. We're going to talk about what he brings to this defense, how it's going to shift. There's a little bit of info there. And what's going on currently, couple of new injuries, couple of tweaks to the depth chart, as well as the roster today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. It is a special episode here for the coming Friday show. With Carlos Dunlap arriving in town, we wanted to make sure that we got you stuff right away on his first glimpse of Kansas City and training camp in St. Joe. We have a lot to talk about today. Thanks for making us your first listen. If you would grab another Locked On podcast for your next listen, whether it's abs, if you want to get caught up on the NHL season, or the draft. Yes, that's coming too. College football starts here in a little bit. Lot to listen to. I'm Ron Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, as well as NFL33.com, RogueAPC.com, helps if I remember them, and RGR Football. So, hey, there's a lot going on.
You have too many to name. That's why that's what the problem right. is. Mine's pretty easy. My name is Chris Clark. You can find me over at Chiefs Corner. And, yeah, we do have a lot to talk about. Training camp is ongoing, and there is a lot to talk about from the practice that they had on Thursday.
So old number 8 is in the house. It's funny. I had a lot of people pinging me about, hey, isn't Justin Ross number 8? Yes, he is, but he's on IR, and quite frankly, he's a rookie UDFA. A 12-year veteran in the NFL gets his number whether he likes it or not. So Carlos Dunlap will be 8 this season.
And Ross can't come back, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. And Ross should be in the running to make the roster next year. Carlos is on a 1-year contract, so we'll just have to see if that even becomes a thing. It may not be ever. But Carlos, in talking to the media, I thought, set up all the right things that he wanted to express, you know, in why his reasoning, what his goals are, why is he here? And that was one that he has a personal goal. He always wants to get 8 sacks, and he's looking for more because of this particular defense. He also wants to win a playoff game and wants to win a Super Bowl. And those are great goals to have, something that has been eluding him for a bit. I know he played for the Bengals for a long time, and then they finally got on a winning streak in the playoffs. So it's a little bit about timing there. But in terms of bringing that mentality, how do you like what he had to say today?
I love what he had to say. And any player that wants to go win a Super Bowl and is good enough to be one of the top players in their position for the Chiefs, I think Kansas City should be able to go or should look to sign. So I like this move. I like what he said. I like the way he is going about his business. 8 sacks. If he can get us 8 sacks, if he can get the Chiefs 8 sacks, and then Karlaftis gets you 8 to 10 sacks, and Frank Clark gets you 8 to 10 sacks, you're in business. And that doesn't even start to mention Chris Jones or any of the other guys that are going to be rushing the passer from interior or from the defensive end position.
Yeah, that's my thought as well. It comes down to the fact that you have to have more than one guy that could be your alpha, because sometimes alphas get hurt. So depending on whether Chris Jones with the wrist last year, obviously Frank and all of his illnesses, having another guy that's at that point in his career where it is all out, you could see the end from here. You have to make that push. I feel like, and not to be too stark a contrast, but Carlos Dunlap, in the way that he's approaching his 1-year contract in Kansas City, very, very different than what they saw from Melvin and honestly, what they saw from Sizzle before that.
Yeah, and I think that you start also looking at it and saying, if his main goal is to get a Super Bowl, this is his chance to get a Super Bowl. He's going to give you everything he has. He's going to do whatever you ask him to do because he wants to be on the field, he wants to contribute, and he wants to have a chance to go and get a Super Bowl ring. So, to me, it's a great move for Kansas City, and I think that they are in prime position to maybe add more.
I'd find that really interesting. We're going to have to see how the numbers break out when we get the update on the cap. That could be really fruitful. The one thing that I took away from this, and I teased this on social media, but this is really important, that Carlos talked about the fact that he wanted to do all those things, but the other factor was they offered him playing time.
Yep.
Straight up. He wants to play every down is what he told Matt Derrick today. That, I think, is not only the right thing to say, but it's key in the expectation for the player versus what the team has kind of offered you, right? That tells me that there is an alternate use or alternate plan for George Karlaftis. And we talked about it just as a glimpse, as a maybe, as a possibility, moving him inside on rushing downs. Now this seems like if they're promising or at least offering Carlos that many snaps or the majority of the snaps, that does mean that they feel like George can rush from the inside next to Chris Jones, and that from everything that George has said, from everything that Frank has said, that that is a bigger chunk of this plan than we thought.
It definitely could be. And the thing that really sticks out to me about that is that, yes, it could mean that Karlaftis isn't going to be a starter. And while that would be frustrating for some people, I actually don't mind that. He is not your prototypical defensive end that is going to be a speed guy anyway. He's going to be a power guy. Having him being able to get into the NFL, get used to the NFL game, get used to dealing with the power the tackles are going to have and be able to start working on moves is going to be good for him in his career. And let's be honest about this as well. Full-time snaps for a defensive end is nowhere near 100% of the snaps.
Right.
That's more like 40, 45, 50% of the snaps. So there's still plenty of snaps to go around between giving Frank Clark time off, giving George time off, putting George inside. There's plenty of snaps for everybody, for those top three guys to rotate and basically be starters at that position.
Yeah, I agree. It comes down to with two rush ends, two defensive ends, you need 200% of the defensive snaps, right? Because you have two guys at one position. If they all get a third of it, including George Karlaftis at 60, 65, 67%, just to be right on the dime, that is a good rotation. And maybe George doesn't get that many. Maybe more of his snaps come inside, but that's fine as well. But you have now with three legitimate guys that could start, can play that many reps, that rotation is going to pay off for this rush defense in particular.
Well, and I think it's also positive. You keep hearing reports coming out of camp about how Karlaftis is, I hate saying it this way, but bugging people, trying to get more information for people. And really, you know, I've heard he's texting coaches at camp. He's like, even when they're not in meetings or even after meetings or, you know, even in the off time, he's texting coaches. He's trying to get in everybody's ear and trying to learn near as much as he possibly can. And I know we're talking about defense, but I want to throw this out because I saw this tidbit and I loved it. Sky Moore has also come out and said he is trying to sit behind Patrick Mahomes in any of the meetings that they have together because he wants to be able to tap on Mahomes' shoulder and ask questions if need be. I absolutely love that. That is the right attitude to have as a rookie.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that as well as the rest of the wide receiver room coming up here in a little bit because I got to tell you about Bet Online. Right now, it's prime time for props, bets, and who's going to make that Super Bowl. You can put all that money on the line right now. And if you want to do it smart, you got to get over to Bet Online and get all the odds, lines, all the games, all the podcasts, all the additional info that you need to be smart about it. You can bet the other sports like baseball and basketball and NHL and even the combat sports and golf. But you all know that football is where it's at, and that's where it's prime time right now. They let you have all that information over at their website. It's super easy to navigate. And all that sports wagering information is what makes the difference for you. Go check it out. It's Bet Online where the game starts. So it's funny, you bring up Sky Moore, and I was going to get to that in this segment. This, I think, is the difference. Well, hey, you know, you get excited. What are you going to do?
I just want to make sure it was said because to me it stands out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the bigger thing for me is I read the rest of that and heard the quote from him saying that it's starting to click for him. Mm-hmm. That's really exceptional for a rookie wide receiver slash running back, whatever you want to call him. I think he's going to be used multiple ways, but specifically in the wide receiver role, to be able to feel like it's clicking, not even 2 weeks through your first camp, that's remarkable in an Andy Reid offense. And I'm not trying to say that I disagree. I'm really excited about that. I think there's more coming that he's going to have to adapt to, but for him to feel at that point and that confident in it, that says a lot about his mental acuity and what he's going to be able to contribute, not just later in the season, but maybe not week one, but in the first half before the bye.
Yeah, and what I wonder is when you start talking about that is, has the team done what they should do with a rookie? Have they broke it down to where he is doing just maybe a quarter or a third or maybe, you know, half of the playbook and just trying to get him in his specific role and getting him acclimated to however what it is that they're going to have him do during the season? If they're doing that and he's clicking, that's fantastic news for the Chiefs. because that means he's able to pick up what they're giving him. If they're giving him the entire playbook and saying, here, go learn all three positions, that's beyond phenomenal, and I don't even have words for that, because that would be absolutely insane for him to be able to pick up the entire playbook that quickly. And that, to me, is more exciting than his tapping Mahomes on the shoulder, because if he is picking up the entire playbook, that means his brain is a football-type brain, and he's going to be a guy that's going to have the mental capacity to see things that most wide receivers aren't going to see just because of the way his mind works.
Well, and let's be frank. I mean, there are football guys, there are guys that it comes more naturally to that just do pick up on it, but that's like Rain Man level learning just by, you know, the initial look at it. That's incredible. And it bodes well, not only for him, but for the Chiefs offense and how well they'll be able to sustain the attrition that goes on during a regular NFL season, especially when you take a look at, there's a couple of new injuries at the wide receiver position today. Greg Jennings has a concussion and is out for now. The protocol is a little bit less clear because they don't have to report it all the time during training camp than it is during the season. So we'll just have to get updates on that. But Dreese Fountain, who is one of the front runners to make that fifth or sixth spot, now has a groin issue. He was not at practice today, not in pads anyway, not participating. That's significant because we know that Justin Watson is coming on. We know that Josh Gordon is falling behind or has fallen behind. So it is really up to Reese, who's played a lot of snaps for Dave Tobe, to make sure that he is in the mix and is not on the sidelines, not in the tub, because they are going to need him, in my opinion. Do you agree, or do you think that someone else can fill in with him, especially with Watson maybe being in that mix already?
No, I think they need him. I think that they're going to need that guy that is going to bring his special teams ability to this team. And really, I'm not saying that it's not replaceable, because special teams play is great, but if you have more talent, you're going to get more opportunities to do things and be a special teams guy. Maybe they can go and they could find somebody else to replace that talent if he's not able to go. But, you know, the big question right now is, who's that going to be? Justin Ross isn't going to be here this year. Justin Watson, we've already talked about, could be the sixth wide receiver. Maybe he turns into the fifth in this scenario, or maybe somehow Josh Gordon turns it around, is able to turn into the fifth and Watson becomes the sixth. But I think they need Fountain, and I think they're going to need two core special teams guys coming from that fifth and sixth position, because you start looking at it. I mean, I guess you could call maybe Sky Moore a core special teamer, or not. I don't know that he's going to be a core special teamer.
I don't think so.
He could be a returner, but that's not going to be a core guy.
Right, exactly. Like, he's going to be too valuable, especially if he's learning the offense that quickly. So without Ross, and now if Fountain isn't able to go and complete camp, it's hard to make the roster that way. I think Dreese will be fine. I think he's a vet of enough experience that he'll be able to power through that. But if not, now we're down to where we were talking earlier in the season, guys who maybe didn't have a shot. Coleman, maybe Greg Jennings. Who knows? There are another group of options beyond that. That certainly is a diminished group when you look at it overall, but still, there's always attrition at this position. There's no way around it.
Yep. No, and you're completely right. And maybe if Fountain's injury is bad enough, maybe they go looking out there somewhere else for another receiver.
Could be. It's funny because Sky trying to go be a core teamer, I think that's a little more difficult, because he does have a specific role, and there's another guy that has a very specific role that is changing the way this roster is going to look when they do cutdowns, because of the balance that they're going to have. We're going to talk about the running back room and who's making a case for the roster right now, right after this. So Sky Moore could be a punt returner, right? But the guy that's ahead of him is Isaiah Pacheco. And it came out yesterday, a really interesting comparison. I want to know your take, because I think you're a little more high on this than I am. There is rumor that, according to, I believe it's Albert Greer, that the team feels that Isaiah Pacheco is a faster version of Kareem Hunt. Do you believe that, and what do you think of it?
Man. Wow. That is pretty... If that really truly ends up being the case, that is going to be insane to have in this offense. And while it doesn't seem like he is getting the run with the ones that you would expect from a guy that they believe is a Kareem Hunt, but faster, man, if they're going to give him the return ability, I mean, that was always the thing with Kareem, is Kareem was a great running back, but he never seemed to have the top end speed. So that's a little bit different when you have a guy that you're calling Kareem Hunt, and now you're putting him as your number one kick returner and your number one punt returner. Those guys usually have pretty good speed. So that's an interesting comparison. I'm not sure how to take that. I think that it's going to be something. Well, coming from where he's coming from, I would expect that he's going to need at least a year in the league before he'd be able to take over starting duties if they think that that's where he's going to be. Hmm. But then again, why are you going to have him as a returner this year if you think he's going to be your bell cow in two?
Well, I think it's A, to see how he adapts to the game, and B, take advantage of the athleticism. If he's the best guy to return punts right now, you got to go use him. That's a no-brainer. Yeah. And I thought that was going to be maybe the limit of his exposure on this team. But it does strike me as well that Albert Breer put this out after talking to folks inside the Chiefs organization. I'm sure they didn't want this out because there's a significant population of Chiefs Kingdom that still wants Kareem Hunt back despite all the drama that happened. So I don't think they wanted that comparison out there in order to let that year kind of go by, because if Clyde doesn't perform up to expectations, then maybe if they really feel that comparison is legit, maybe they feel that they have the heir apparent in-house already, but they need to protect that a little bit, not let the wear and tear, because what we have heard is not only is Clyde the starter and looking good, particularly in the pass game, but that Rojo is getting significant snaps more than McKinnon is. McKinnon's a known quantity, so I don't think that's a severe.
He's also a vet who's going to be given more time off.
Right, right. And as we all know,
just want to throw that out there,
they need him in the playoffs. Like you want his speed and his experience for the playoffs. So Rojo coming in and getting more reps, he's been with the ones the last couple of days. I know they've been peppering different guys in. But what I'm hearing is that his pass catching ability is more so than the Chiefs originally thought. I think Breer confirmed that as well. That changes things for, I think, the depth chart. And it right now, Pacheco is the returner. And now Rojo not showing any signs of weakness, at least that we understand. That puts this team in a difficult position, in my opinion, because they're going to keep Mike Burton. They will have a fullback. That's not even a question. That's been confirmed by everybody. It's not just me. That's confirmed by every beat reporter out there. But that puts you in a position that you might have to keep five guys, Mike and the four running backs, at the running back position. And can they afford five is my question to you.
Well, but they were already likely going to be keeping four. I mean, I don't think that there's ever a question about keeping Clyde and Rojo and McKinnon and Pacheco.
Okay, so you think this is status quo?
I do, but the bigger question I have is, how do you possibly move on from Derek Gore after what you saw from him last year?
He is practice squad eligible, as I understand, though.
Yeah, but after watching what he did in the regular season last year, somebody will take a flyer on that.
Yeah,
I would just about guess. That's a fair point. Kansas City's, if they really feel like McKinnon is a guy that they can't live without, then you can maybe look at it as a scenario of, okay, well, that's what it's going to be, and they're going to go with the four that I just mentioned, and Derek Gore is the odd man out. They can try to get it on the practice squad, and I know we say it every year that people won't make it. I just can't see him making it after he actually played well last year during the regular season. It wasn't preseason games. It was actually he performed in the NFL against NFL competition and made them look silly at times.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I think that does, man, that does make it tough. And if that because is
you can't keep five.
No, there's no way, because you have to have the wide receiver depth. And quite frankly, I think the wide receiver depth is more important, because you need the young guys to come through. And obviously with MVS and Juju, the contract structures mean that both of them have earn it years here. Because quite frankly, another one fell today. Deontay Johnson, the Steelers, agreed to a 2-year extension. He's going up to the $20 million mark again. Like, they can't afford to go out and get free agent receivers very often. And both these guys were, you know, mid-tier signings. That mid-tier is going to be creeping up as well. So I think they really have to invest in the younger guys to balance that positional spending as well as the overall cap. So well, I think it becomes more important to keep them.
Yeah, no, and I agree. But I also would argue that maybe if Juju has a good year to start, maybe they'd look at trying to sign him to an extension. Mm-hmm. Maybe they offer him, you know, 15, 16, 17 million. And yeah, he could go get more elsewhere, but if he's enjoying his time in Kansas City and he wants to chase a ring, there's not going to be a better place for him to go.
True.
This is going to be his opportunity. And if he wants to play with the best QB in football, and yes, I'm saying he's the best QB in football.
As you should.
Here's your opportunity. And yeah, you may make a little bit less, but you're going to have the opportunity to play with Patrick Mahomes for the next 4 years if you'll take a deal that's a little bit less than market.
Yeah.
And if you're playing well, they're going to take care of you. Maybe they give you more guaranteed as opposed to, you know, something where there's a fourth year that's never going to be earned. It's like $30 million that jumps the APY up.
It's going to be difficult. And it's certainly a balancing prospect that has to be thought out a little bit more in advance rather than just who do we get on the 53 this year. So yep. We'll have more for you when we get updates. There will be more coming. Obviously, the injuries will be updated tomorrow as well. We'll see how that works out and more on Carlos coming. We will have some updates for you over the weekend as things do continue through. And then obviously next week is starting to ramp up for that first preseason game. There's a lot coming at you, Chiefs Kingdom. Make sure you like, sub, and hit the bell over on YouTube. That means become a subscriber. That's how you get all the information. And get subbed on the audio platforms. That is still our bread and butter. All of you guys know that we are here 5 days a week plus this time of year. So there's plenty of content. We do try to keep it nice and short, keep you to 20 to 25 minutes and get you out the door so you know what's going on. We appreciate everyone being here today. Chris, and hope you're enjoying your vacation.
I am. Thank you very much. And I will be back. I'll be back Monday and then I'm back on the road again next week. So there we go. It is this time of year and I'm looking forward to it though. I mean, I really enjoy this time of year. I love training camp. This is one of my favorite times of year. I really wish I could make the practices more than I have lately, but that will be something that I'll be working on. And don't forget, you know, we are going to have that preseason game and we're going to be talking about that preseason game for a couple of days afterwards because there's going to be a lot to digest from it.
Absolutely. Make sure you check out the other shows. If you want to hear about the league, check out Locked On NFL, Locked On NFL Draft. Go to NFL33.com for all of the league important information that isn't Chiefs-centric. So you know what else is going on. I have to poke my head out every now and then just see what else is happening in the league. So thank you guys for your time today. We'll be back with you tomorrow.